So, I was WhatsApped a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months, asked to give a talk about reality and worship. Can you imagine someone texting you said, "Sion, can you come to England and then talk about this topic called reality and worship?" Yeah, my response exactly. Right, where do we start? And I hope this isn't an academic lesson. This isn't a school day or a day in university. This in no way kind of tells you how you should worship in this particular manner. But hopefully it looks at what the Bible tells us about worship, why we should worship our God, and that's a good thing. This is a happy thing. And hopefully evokes something in your souls and your heart and a bit of fire, because our God is a consuming fire, isn't he? And he wants that for us. And I promise you, if we worship him, it's a good thing, and you'll enjoy it too. Okay. So, I've been asked this question, what is reality? Reality, I suppose, looking at it, is the actual state of things, isn't it? And sometimes I think it's really helpful to look at the antonyms. I always look at antonyms, so words that mean the opposite of the thing you're wanting the meaning for. And it's falsehood, it's mirage, it's pretending, okay, if you look at the opposite of reality, but that's not what we want. Okay, so what is worship? I'm going to pick on somebody, avert your gazes. Andrew Purdy. Andrew, see if you had a burning question in the middle of the day or the night. How many pizza slices do I need to get from Portadown to the moon? So these questions, burning questions you have, where do you go for your answer? Where do you go for your source of information? Just for general questions. Do you shake the dust off your bike and cycle to Portadown Library? And as it opens, you find the book. What do most of us do if we have a question about something? Yeah, Google, yeah, absolutely. So I took up my phone and asked, what is worship? So worship, as per Microsoft Bing or Google, other search engines are available. So these are the first results I got on what is worship. And generally, it's telling me I should go outside, look immensely joyful, like that guy in the top right, he's loving life right there. Put my hands up, look up, and hopefully somewhere out in the open with a beautiful background. So Google tells me that's what worship is. Okay, but we don't look to Google for our source of information about God, do we? So, any Greek scholars out there in this room? I'm sure there are many, many, many. Okay. So I took the trouble to find out a wee bit about worship. In the Greek Bible, okay, and apologies to anyone who actually knows Greek properly, because I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. So the main kind of New Testament word we get in Greek for worship is proskuneos. Proskuneos. Pros means towards. Kuneos meaning, two meanings actually, to kiss or to show a deep reverence to. So think about that. Worship in that original sense is a sense of deep reverence, homage. Okay. What is worship? What do we understand by worship? Okay. Not according to Google Images. It's thinking about the worthiness of an object or a person, in our case, the person of our God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and our Lord Jesus. And it's really appreciating that person in awe and reverence. And if you think about who God is, he is worthy of worship. You know, take 5 seconds, close your eyes, and this is the God of the universe. This is the God who formed everything that we know and we can see, things that we don't even know yet. This is a God who rescued his people by splitting the sea in half. This is a God who can raise the dead. Things in my day job as a physician, you know, I've been a part of cardiac arrest teams, and you know, we can never emulate such a thing, but God did it. Lazarus, come on out. And he wasn't half kind of breathing, and we rushed him off to ICU, hoping for the best. He just walked out from dead, alive. So this is the God that we serve and we know and has loved us. Okay, so think about that. It should evoke something in you. Okay. So what does the Bible tell us about what worship is? So from the Gospel of John chapter 4, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. We'll touch upon that. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay. So God is looking for worshippers. God is looking for people to worship him. Okay. But he gives us two specific examples on how, in spirit and in truth. Another scripture from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay. So think about it. We have this first part, in spirit. So it's not physical. This is in spirit. This is spiritual. A lot of people have different understandings about what spirit is and what is spiritual. In the simplest sense, one, it is almost a supernatural understanding and belief of who God is. Because God is spirit. It's given to us that understanding. And two, it's the Holy Spirit. And we're given in scriptures, aren't we, in Corinthians, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So you could not worship God in your heart and honestly without the help of the Holy Spirit. You could not even utter that simple sentence, Jesus is Lord, without the Holy Spirit's help. Okay. Good to ask him. He will give. The second part we're given, and in truth. And I have took this in three ways. So one is I like simple things, very simply, in truth, in your own self, when you turn up for the weekday Bible reading, when you have your quiet moments in the morning, or wherever you are, on Lord's Day, as you're sitting there, and we're really trying to remember the Lord, are you doing it in sincerity? Are you doing it true to yourself? Are you being honest with your emotions and your thoughts towards God? So that's one sense. It's just simply, are you true? Second, are you doing it in the truth of the gospel, in the truth of the Bible? Because lots of things out there at the moment, very confusing. Kind of this awkward generation where I didn't have internet for the first couple of years of my life, and now I'm part of it. But I've seen both sides, and there's deep fake and AI and all these disinformation and misinformation. But we know God's word is truth. The Bible is reliable. It is the living word. We have a translation of it in English, of course, from the original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. It's in German, it's in different languages, but it is God's word given to us. Praise God. And it is the truth. And that's the basis we have an understanding of about who God is. Because we need to understand who God is so we can worship him. If you don't know someone, how could you love him? How could you grow a relationship with him? Okay. And the third is our Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Two small aspects, spirit and truth, and yet there's so much packed in. True to yourself, true to God's word, true to our Lord Jesus Christ. And are you doing it with a fullness of heart? Or are you just going through a tick box in your head? Okay, it's Lord's Day, I suppose I should think about things and go through the motions. Are you moved by who God is and what Jesus has done? Because it should be. Like, I love kids, and they're so simple, and so true to them, to their emotions. You know, like, my wee ones, not anymore. Like, they'll throw themselves on the floor and throw a tantrum. They're like, it's not great emotion, but they're true to their emotion and how they feel, and they'll do it. Not too many people throwing tantrums in a meeting room on the Lord's Day, you know, but not being flippant, but reverently speaking, you have to be true. God wants true believers, and he knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. So why not be true in knowing and worshipping and appreciating who God is? Because the Bible warns us about those who are not in spirit and in truth, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 15, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In vain, in falsehood, in rubbish. You can look the part, you can talk the part, you can say all sorts of wonderful prayers and nice sayings, but if your spirit's not in it, your heart's not true, in vain, and God knows, and that's not what we want, surely not. Okay. So whether you're the Pharisee of Pharisees, looking the part, in first century Middle East, with your robes and your jewellery and the beard, shaking hands, hello, holy brother, how are you? Great, you look just as good living as myself. Everybody patting their backs, looking at, look how wonderful we look, look how well we're worshipping. Or, you know, not to just throw stones at people who can't defend themselves from first century, or, you know, the example of a good living family, well dressed, very scrubbed up, looking very pious, all age groups, very epitome of what a Christian worship would look like. You can look the part, you can dress yourself the part, you can talk the part, but God wants true worshippers. That's the reality of our worship, isn't it? We have different emotive ranges, okay? Some are more emotional and expressive than others. I think we can think of a few examples when we say that, different person. I think I'm a bit expressive, okay? Some people are less so. Some people want to raise their hands. Some people don't want to display any sort of emotion at all, ever, because that's just awful. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as you're worshipping in spirit and in truth, you don't have to cry and wail all the tears. You can if you want, okay? But you don't have to. As long as you appreciate who God is, what Jesus has done, what he means for you, just take him those 20 seconds each day. Say, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for me. We love you. I'm going to worship you because you've asked us to. I'm going to be as true as I can to my emotions and my thankfulness and sincerity. And I know I can do this in the truth of the gospel and in Jesus. If you do that on the bus, on the seat, on your commute to work, or the tube where nobody talks and shows any emotion, that's fine. God would appreciate that, I think, according to scripture. But not all doom and gloom. Don't want to end on doom and gloom. Some of the practical ways we can worship God, I thought, why not an example from God's word himself. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. We started off today with a hymn. And spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And God very graciously gives us that kind of pragmatic, what we can do in reality, about how we should worship from Colossians 3. So I'll step down and disappear. Hopefully that evokes a few thoughts in your hearts and your minds. And we want to talk about what's in the way of you being true in your worship, and how can you practically make it better, and how can we do that for one another? on a sort of cutting. Thank you.